Off the Ball, GAA.
I didn't have a great really relationship with County Board after that at all. Yeah, it was just a funny kind of a moment. It's well known, like, I got stamped on that day.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Injuries you're carrying into this camp, it sort of changes pretty dramatically the assessment of the games, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few players out. We've got Roosh and Megan, to name a couple. But yeah, I think, you know, we've brought in players that we think are obviously well capable of approaching this game. So yeah, those players are with the longer term view. So that's football, Tony.
But I mean, it's fair to say, Kira Caruso, Heather Payne, Roosh, John, if it would all probably have started.
Well, Kira and Heather are in the squad, so they're available to play. It's Roosh and Megan Campbell are not available, so, you know, the squad is still very strong. Yeah.
Didn't read that properly.
Yeah.
talk to me about Georgia, the opposition. I mean, we've played them before, so clearly you know what they're like.
Yeah.
Have they changed much since the last time?
I mean, like every international country, they're in a playoff, so they'll be trying to be as competitive as they can. They've obviously developed over the years in line with their resources and their landscape. So the thing for us in these playoffs is, you know, that we are not complacent and that we don't let complacency or previous results guide preparations. So we've been, you know, promoting that message across the staff and across the players as well. So it's two must-win games, Tony.
You can't but look ahead, though, to the next game. You have to be looking at Slovakia and Wales as well, surely, and keeping an eye on them and their game.
Yeah, well, I mean, the primary focus has to be on these two games. You know, if we start to get too far ahead of ourselves, then the complacency can come in. But obviously, you have, you know, to future plan as well and have simultaneous, you know, processes going on. But the primary focus is obviously getting these two games, getting over the line with these two games.
How much of a loss will Courtney Brosnan be in the first leg? I mean, she's been so consistent.
Courtney's been brilliant, yeah, and she's obviously the yellow cards have carried forward, but this is what a squad is for. And, you know, we've got three keepers in now, so Grace, Sophie and young Katie Keenan, so it's their opportunity now to shine.
And Katie from Athlone Town, that wasn't the response to Kieran Kilduff's criticism?
Absolutely not. I mean, we watch players every single week in the League of Ireland, and I, you know, over 30 years have been the biggest advocate of League of Ireland in its inception at National League and promoting, you know, League of Ireland players being integrated into international pathways. So, you know, statements that we don't watch players are completely inaccurate. In terms of Katie, you know, my assistant Emma has actually attended Athlone's training sessions. Watch Katie. We've had Katie in the pre-mini camp in July. So we're watching these players constantly, and you know, winning League of Ireland doesn't negate an immediate call up to senior international football. It's a very, very tough level. It's elite level, and League of Ireland players are in direct, you know, competition with players who are in professional environments and full time environments. So, you know, the primary message from that is we're constantly watching players.
But Kieran Kilduff's criticism was perhaps that you didn't even pick up the phone to, you know, give him a call.
And what am I calling them about? Like, I'm not selecting his players. So there's hundreds of managers. So I'm speaking to players that we need to. We're watching the players. If I need to ask Kieran anything about a player, I'll pick up the phone and ring him. If he wants to ring, ring. There's nothing stopping. If he wants this dialogue, then pick the phone and call me. You know, I think it's.
Could you call him?
For what? Tony's question.
To ask him how Katie's doing.
I just told you. My assistant Emma Byrne attended the training sessions, so I'm not sure much more. We attended this training session to look at the player. It's pretty you know, conducive to getting a live view of what your player is doing in your training session. We have her in the camp. So I think the broader message here is we are watching League of Ireland games. I'm attending League of Ireland games. My technical staff are attending League of Ireland games. We're watching games online. We're linking with whoever we need to if we want to ask questions about the players. Managers are free to call me if they want to promote a player, the same way professional managers do. The line is open. So, you know, to say that we're not, you know, looking at League of Ireland players is completely misrepresentative.
Were you hurt by criticism then? Because no, well, I mean, not in this game.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I've been here 30 years. I've committed my whole career to League of Ireland and to the National League here. So, you know, statements to say I don't advocate on behalf of League of Ireland players are completely misrepresentative.
So how would you assess the status of the game, the women's game at League of Ireland level?
The game has moved on over the years, but it's still essentially an amateur league. And for, you know, to play at senior international level, there is natural attrition, you know, of level. We all know there's a difference between League of Ireland to the WSL. You know, that is an objective difference. And we've got players playing in League of Ireland, you've got players playing in the WSL, you've got players at the top of the WSL, you've got players in the middle, and that is your direct opponent to be selected for the national team. But from League of Ireland, we've, you know, integrated players. Erin McLaughlin, Ella Malloy is in. She's just moved to Sheffield. Eva Mangan plays with Cork City. She's in. We've had Freya. We've had Ellen. So there is, you know, a commitment to try and continue to look at the players. But there's also a natural objective, you know, not to admit that there's a difference between an amateur level player and a pro level player, and that is, we have to pick 23 players, and it's, you know, survival of the fittest. So you can be playing, you can be an excellent League of Ireland player but not a senior international player. You can be an excellent pro player.
Julianne Russell, though, I mean,
yeah, so
she made to your team.
She's exceptional. You know, Julie has 70 caps before she's come in to me. So is that not reinforcing the point that we take players? We're happy to have players that are the level and that can sustain the demands of the game at international level in the squad. You know, that is what we want. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, just on that, I don't want to harp on too much about it, but based on sort of what you're saying there, but the, you know, the level being where it's at, and you know, the level you have in your squad, do you feel Kieran's comments were naive?
Listen, I don't want to get caught up on Kieran's comments here today. I'm here, it's the squad announcement. David, you know, thankfully dropped the article this week, but we're here today for the squad announcement for the playoffs, right? We're in a good position. It's the second playoff for the Euros, I think, in the history of the women's team. That's what my focus is. The overarching message is that we are watching League of Ireland players and players that we deem capable of coming in or potentially adapting to the environment we bring in. And that's really the core message of what I'm saying here today.
Do you feel it'd be beneficial to sit down, because obviously it's something that could go on, would it be beneficial to sit down and have a conversation with Ciara?
There's nothing that's going on. No, there's nothing that's going on. You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm here as the national team manager. That's the role I'm going to do. There's no, you know, Kieran decided to write an article with David. That's his prerogative, and it's his views that are in it. That's it. I've said what I wanted to say. Our core message is that I attend games, my staff attend games, we bring in players that we feel are able to adapt to the level, or potentially, and that's it.
How do you think we best bridge that gap, I suppose, between the League of Ireland and the national team? But it's a broad and big question.
It is a broad and big question, and you know, that's part of the Football Pathways plan that's just been introduced, and you know, how we identify, develop and manage talent. As we all know, it's a broader landscape problem around resources, capacity, population of players, and obviously you've got relative development of the women's game across the globe. So you're in your own context and you're in competition with the development of the game in the broader sense.
To get back to on message, as I said, you just mentioned the laying the squad for the game. How confident are you? I suppose it's a massive occasion, massive opportunity. How confident are you that we could possibly, you hear Thomas Tuchel talking about making a dream come true yesterday, how confident are you we can try to make the dream come true?
Yeah, I mean, we're very positive, but we know we still have to apply ourselves and we still have to, you know, make it happen. So these two games is, like, you know, I've been saying, we're not taking anything for granted. We have to come out and, you know, why did we beat Georgia before? It's because we did the right things in those games, and we have to, you know, look to repeat that. And the focus is two wins and get to the next phase of the playoffs, the finals then in December. And yeah, we're keeping a really positive outlook, and it's, you know, it's an exciting time.
That's all.
Thank you.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about Ellen's inclusion. Obviously, someone whose early career was halted by a bad injury.
Yeah.
She's doing well. Sheffield United.
Yeah, I mean, we're delighted to have Ellen back. Ellen was always a really talented youth player and coming through. And then obviously she suffered the ACL, which knocked her progress back. So since we've been in, we've been tracking her at Wexford, and she's been playing really well. And obviously she's got the move now to Sheffield United. But, you know, Ellen is the type of player we want, really comfortable on the ball, a lovely left foot, a dribbler, and, you know, will definitely add to the squad and give us another option then.
Obviously, a bit of depth now in the forward line, particularly the two players in Scotland, Saoirse and Emily, both playing particularly well, pretty close.
Yeah, they're very close. I mean, Emily, Saoirse, Lucy and Erin McLaughlin are currently on the standby list. So it is the competitiveness of the squad. Obviously, Julianne and Leanne did very well in the last camp. Kira Carusa is back now. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to have the competition, and it's, you know, good, you know, for this camp. It's good, you know, potentially if we make the next qualifiers, that we've got a lot of players on form and scoring at their clubs and, you know, playing at a good level. So it's a good position to be in.
Tell us a bit more about Katie Keane and the attributes she feels she brings to the squad.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Katie is a young player. She's about our 19s. Yeah, she's a real good potential for us in a goalkeeping area. You know, she had a great tournament then with the 19s in just gone by, great games against Spain. So we felt it'd be nice to, you know, give Katie the opportunity, bring her in and, you know, into the senior squad and expose her to that level, get her to work with the senior keeper. So, yeah, we're excited to have Katie in with us.
It says Emily Murphy is unavailable. Are you in a position to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, our College Wakefield didn't want to release her because of their own programme. You know, this is the challenges with players that play in the US college system, is that the colleges are not affiliated to FIFA, so are under no obligation to release them, so she becomes unavailable.
I imagine she must be frustrated back in the day because it's such a big game.
Yeah.
And he's been managing the team for a little over a year now. What are some of the kind of learnings you've taken from that experience?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had many learnings, and you know, it's, you know, we've had a Nations League campaign and then a qualifying campaign against very different oppositions. So it's learning, you know, how we manage, you know, in the tougher games and where our character is. And, you know, I feel like in the Euro qualifiers group, we definitely showed, you know, development from the start to the finish to that. And it's now it's bringing that on into the playoffs.
Just finally for me, he beats Georgia pretty emphatically in the World Cup qualifiers. Do you feel they've improved much since then?
Yeah, I think, you know, relative to the same with all national teams, they've, you know, improved as well. And obviously they're in the playoffs, they've gotten to this point, so we'll be very respectful. And like I said, we're not looking back at previous games and using that as a benchmark. It's doing as much as we can to make sure we win these games.
Can I just ask on Katie McCabe? She's Kemp played 61 minutes last night, 61 against Chelsea. Kemp has been in the habit of being taken off. Hasn't played that many 90 minutes so far this season. Is that a positive thing from your perspective? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Katie is, you know, well prepared. They've had a quite front load of their Premier League fixtures and the Champions League. So, yeah, I mean, the load management is important, but I don't have any worries about Katie.
There's no injury there or anything?
No.
Okay, switch to the embargo section. Just embargo till tomorrow morning.
I think just an observation on more what Kieran had said during the summer about the fact that neither he nor a few other managers have been contacted by yourself. Is it more of a disconnect? I mean, there's an appreciation that players are obviously seen, but is it more of a disconnect in terms of communication, in terms of, you know, how the pyramid operates, and that perhaps a national team manager should just be in communication regardless of whether players are being...
Yeah, I do. Yeah, no, I don't think it is a disconnect. I think, you know, we contact clubs and that we're linking about their players. I mean, my role is around the senior national team. So, and if we need to engage in the communication, we do, whether that's me, whether it's part of the technical staff, whether it's the performance coach. So, to say that we're not in, you know, contact with any clubs is misrepresentative.
Where does that communication happen? At what level is it? Is it at the hands level or assistant manager level?
I don't know where you want me to go with this conversation, David.
So at team level. If a player's on the radar, we contact it with regard to team. Like,
the manager or the...
As you said, like if it's a performance coach or if it's an assistant coach checking in on a player, or if it's someone watching the player or something like that, so that's all team related.
When you were working in the league, did no team contact you or have it?
No. And, you know, I'd actively encourage, if a manager in League of Ireland thinks that their player, they want to ring me and promote a player, please feel free to do it. The same way the WSL managers will do it. You know, managers win the league in UK and America. I'm not ringing them. You know, there's processes here how you select a player. There's processes for sending out extended lists that they know the player is on the radar. There's processes when a player is called up. We follow the processes. You know, if we wanted to bring in Julia, we want to bring in Eva, there's a contact to the club looking for the data. There's an exchange of information. That all happens. So it's misrepresentative to say that we're not in contact with the clubs. And again, that's the last point I'm going to talk on it for today.
It wasn't clubs. Kieran stressed in the summer it was managers and other managers.
Okay.
Kieran, his broader point was...
Well, you should have brought Kieran in here today. This is the squad announcement, so I'm done talking about Kieran Kilduff. But I'm done. I'm done about the article. Done.
There is,
like I said, the football pathways plan has been announced. There is a full development pathway being developed for managing talent, identifying talent, and, you know, the home base sessions in principle, you know, did a role for when it was on, and then it started to lose its role, which was the purpose of developing players and engaging players, which had potential to go to the senior A team. So essentially it was one session a month. So, you know, we believe we can do better in terms of talent management. We can be much more specific with our high potential players. We need, nobody is in any disagreement that we don't need a 23s and that we don't need to capture post U19s. I've been the biggest advocate of this, and, you know, we all agree where the gaps are, and that's what we're looking to develop here. So, you know, it's I hear about the home base sessions now a bit being exalted as if they were, you know, and but it's the same people that were annihilating them when they were on that are exalting them now. So in principle, having something there to fill that pathway is absolutely critical. So that is the agreed point. You know, what I don't have for you now is the specifics in a finite timeline. But yes, we need a 23s. Yes, we need a talent development and management that is much more specific to the high potential players that we have within the League of Ireland, that we can get them, that they train at the same level as the pro players. So, and that's really where we're at.
That's not fair, but you said there's no timeline.
There's no finite timeline. It's currently being developed.
But
what we don't
do
is
in the meantime.
Well, yes is the yes. We all know. Yeah. We all know. I'm actively, explicitly saying that that's where the gap is. That is where the gap is. Yeah.
Eileen, given your position, and like there's an election could be called later today, and it's obviously a struggle in the FA budget, as we know, in terms of trying to fill those gaps. I mean, would you be calling on extra government support?
Yeah, we're always calling on government support as one of our main sources of funding, you know. But it's also about getting creative about how we do things and doing things to the best way we can to facilitate the talented, you know, League of Ireland player. Because, you know, objectively, there are differences in the levels that these players play at. There's different contact times. There's different intensities in the games, you know. So the benchmarks of the outputs, you know, from League of Ireland games versus WSL games is incredible, you know, and that's where we need to develop the most suitable programme that can enhance that player's level and also give her the best opportunity to make the national team.
Is there a budget available for 23s?
At the moment, it's all being developed, so I don't have any specifics to give you.
So there's no actual any plan on this. There's no.
There is a plan. I just said, but I can't give you any details
because there's no budget for it.
Yeah, listen, that's as much as I can say on it, John. There's okay. Nothing. So you can keep asking me the same question, but you remember I'm the national team manager.
So I
can only give you.
And
I've explicitly said that's what we need, that's what we're working towards. I don't have any specifics or finite timelines for you, and like you can ask me in 20 different ways, but I can't give you any different answer.
And but as a concept, right, forget about money for now, what about the players of 23?
Well, hopefully they're making the senior team, or they're not. I mean, what I don't know what that question means.
If you're talking about assembling the domestic players in the under 23 squad, does that mean
not only the domestic players?
Okay.
So,
okay, but what about the anyone that's over that? Are they out of the loop?
I'm not really sure where you're going. I mean, in international games, 23 is senior team. So your next step is senior team.
Yeah, but you're talking about the 23s as an alternative to home-based sessions in terms of this new one.
It's not as an alternative to home-based session. It's a talent management and an exposure to international football.
Yeah.
So take the home-based sessions out of the correlation here.
Right.
It's not about replacing it, it's about developing that pathway.
Right.
So, but if there's an over 23s, we can't have a 25s, and it doesn't make that you get it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Then they have to be ready to step in. And there is a natural attrition here, it's the top level. So, not everybody is going to make your senior team. That's natural attrition of levels. So we'll have some excellent League of Ireland players, we'll have some excellent pro players. They don't all make the senior national team. So what we have to do is be really specific in identifying the really high potential players and making sure there's a pathway for them, that they have the best opportunity to get there.
You just don't know when.
Exactly.
Okay.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball. GAA.
I didn't have a great really relationship with County Board after that at all. Yeah, it was just a funny kind of a moment. It's well known, like I got stamped on that day.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.